fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with special guest this week, Steve Dawson. Steve's the founder of a dynamic new evangelistic ministry in the Catholic Church called St. Paul Street Evangelization. And Steve's going to share with us some today, but also throughout the week, what it's all about and what he's seeing the Lord do through it. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks for having me again, Peter.
Yeah, so nice to have you here. I really appreciate you taking the time. Now, yesterday, Steve, you talked about just your conversion and how you described your family. Your mother was radically Catholic, really strong, and really being discipled by an amazing priest in the last century, Father John Hardin, a Jesuit priest who's from the Detroit area here, and he was one of the great teachers. The church, I think, in many ways, and especially many people in this area have been impacted by him, but people all over the world. As you said, he was helping Mother Teresa and her sisters for a long time. But you had a real major conversion. And I wonder if you could just, for our listeners, those who maybe are tuning in today for the first time, can you describe for us that period when you just, something turned in your heart, you began to cry out to God, and then kind of what happened?
Right. So I was really living for myself and the pleasures of the world up until I was maybe around 30 years old, but I hit a real rock bottom that you hear so often people describe when they're living for themselves and just the pleasures of the world and having fun. There's an emptiness, and I felt that emptiness. So because of the grace of my mother's prayers and the prayers of anybody that she could get to pray for me, she asked all of her friends and everybody to pray for me. I found out many years later that even Cardinal Burke had been praying for me personally. And so just many, many very holy, saintly men had been praying, men and women had been praying for me. And it was through that grace that I really believe that I got the grace to turn to God and to seek Him. And so I just said a very simple prayer. I got down on my knees and I looked up into the sky. I was outside and I remember the grass was wet and my knees were getting wet from the grass. I had wet stains on my knees and on my pants. And I said, "All right, Lord, I don't know if you exist, you know, you're going to have to show me because I've about had it." And boom, God just blasted me with grace. It wasn't instant conversion, but it was very quick. I was flooded with the grace of God, and He drew me to Himself.
Now, for people who are listening, some might say, "Well, what do you mean by grace? Describe what you experienced as grace, what you name it as grace."
I would say I was given a great hunger, a great desire to search for truth. I wouldn't say it was irresistible, like irresistible grace, like I couldn't have resisted it, but it was strong, and it was this hunger that was placed in my heart to search for truth. And yeah, and so I followed that hunger, and it led me to God.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. So did you begin reading the Bible, the catechism, where you began praying the rosary? What were your first steps, those baby steps you took at the beginning? Where did you go?
You know, I devoured everything I could get my hands on. I did a lot of self-research on the internet. I did a lot of reading of just the books that were in my house. And that some of that was the work of Father Hardin and other great Catholic minds. I started reading apologetics like Carl Keating's Catholicism and Fundamentalism. I started reading, things from the Fathers of the Church. I even bought the Summa Theologica, five volumes, and I said, "I'm going to read this entire thing." I asked for it for my birthday. And so my mom went to the Catholic bookstore and she bought me the five volumes, and I didn't end up reading the whole thing. But
it's a lot there.
Yeah. But I was determined to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, anything I could get my hands on, I wanted to read. And up until that point, that was not me. You know, that wasn't me. I didn't have that desire. So I just know it was God's prompting, God's grace in my heart.
That's good.
His free gift to me.
You've mentioned your mom's prayer and the prayer, she enlisted the prayers of many people on your behalf. And I think just for the sake of our listeners, you know, there's probably moms or dads listening to the program today who have kids who are drifting from the faith or struggling as you were with alcohol and addiction. I went through a period of my life in my teen years where I just kind of turned my back on it a lot myself. I was just living for myself. I didn't want to follow in the footsteps and all that. And, you know, I would say my mother and the many people who I don't know who were praying for me really made a difference, I think, to helping the light go on at some point. What would you say to those who are listening, Steve, just from your experience?
Yeah, just don't give up. You know, don't give up. It was, my mom started praying for me when I was maybe, you know, well, I don't know. Maybe she was always praying and praying for me. But really, I mean, it took over decades. Don't give up. I mean, look at the example of St. Monica, who prayed St. Augustine into the church. So.
There's no way that 15 years ago or 18 years ago, anybody would have looked at you and said, well, yeah, when Steve's in his early 30s, he's going to start a Catholic street ministry that's going to touch people all around the country and around the world, and he's going to be married and have a family and just be focused. And no one would have predicted that.
No,
right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have predicted it. Right. I don't think anybody else would have.
And just the power of that prayer and people's prayer is so important. I did a few years ago, I did a retreat, a day-long day of reflection for the priests of my home diocese where I grew up, in a little diocese called New Ulm, Minnesota. And my whole life kind of flashed before my eyes when I was standing there. Some of the priests who came to my house when I was in kindergarten, you know, who were at parish priests in the town I was in, up to guys I actually was in the seminary with myself at a certain point, and everybody in between. Well, make a long story short, this one priest came up, his name is Father Mraz, and he was my freshman theology teacher, and I was Lord like hell on wheels when I was that age. And he said to me, he said, hey, I just want you to know, he said, yeah, you were as bad as you remember yourself being. And he said to me like that, and then he goes, but you know, I saw a spark in you, and I've prayed for you every single day since I had you in class as a freshman in high school. Mm. And I was like, wow.
Powerful.
That says a lot. Yep. You know, so parents, friends, just keep persisting in prayer and don't give up. There's a spiritual battle that's going on, mm-hmm. and your prayers have power and they mean something. And so anyway, I wanted to ask at the end of the program yesterday, you got married, you said a little bit about your wife. I had to cut you off at the end of the show because time was short. But tell us a little bit about how you met and a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so like I said last show, I really thought I was called to be a priest. And so I was walking along that path and really discerning that. And I had even picked an order that I was going to enter, and I had a date. And I did end up entering. But in that process, I did end up meeting a young lady who was also discerning religious life. She was discerning the Religious Sisters of Mary, and she had a date, too, to enter. And we met each other doing pro-life work. Hmm. And my driver's license was suspended at that time because of my reckless, careless living. And so she ended up taking me to like pro-life events and stuff like that. And we got to know each other. And then before long, we realized that we were having like some feelings for each other. And it was really bizarre because we both had the same spiritual director. It was a priest at our church. But this was even before we knew each other.
Yeah.
And so we went to him and said, wait, Father, you know, we're supposed to enter religious life here shortly, but now we're like feeling like, you know, maybe, you know, we're called to marriage, you know. And he said, you guys got to stop seeing each other. Just get away from each other. He was very serious. And so we did. We stopped. And he said, you know, this might be a temptation. And you should really discern, follow your original path and discern. So she went off and to join the Religious Sisters of Mercy. And I went off and I joined the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. And our times did overlap some in the religious orders that we were in, but we both ended up coming out. We both stayed for over a year, but we did end up coming out, and very soon after we came out, we hooked up, and we were married within, I think, a year.
Yeah. Do you have any children now?
Yeah. We have one little boy. His name is Maximilian Pio.
Oh, yeah.
So Maximilian after St. Maximilian Kolbe and Pio after Padre Pio. And we have a little girl on the way. So my
wonderful.
Wife is 8 months along, and you know, God willing, that we'll have a healthy little girl next month.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So then how did St. Paul Street Evangelization begin to emerge?
Yeah. So this is like all stories, it's complicated, but really in my own conversion process, I was very serious about the faith, and I was reading a lot of the tradition of the church, and I was rooted in scripture, and I had a firm understanding of what the church believed about salvation, you know, what the church still believes about salvation. Mm-hmm. And I recognized that I had been given a great gift, and that if I really believed what the church teaches about salvation, that there were a lot of people, most people were in serious danger. And I really felt called and convicted by the Lord, like I have a responsibility to share my faith with others. And if I wasn't doing that, that was a serious, would have been a serious omission on my part. And so God really called me to evangelize those that he put into my daily life. But I didn't know how to go about doing that. I thought, you know, I can evangelize my family and friends, people who knew me, but I really felt that God was calling me to do more. Like, so, but I thought it was weird, like, to start, like, evangelizing my hairdresser, like, someone in the grocery store, you know, hey, can you hand me that box of cereal? Do you know Jesus? Like, kind of thing. Like, so I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who really inspired me. He would evangelize. One of the ways he would evangelize was simply by handing out miraculous medals. And I thought, you know, I can do that. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. I can just in my daily life, I can hand out miraculous medals and to just random people. So I bought 1,000 miraculous medals, and I was determined to hand them all out, you know. And so, you know, gas station attendants, grocery store cashiers, and I would put them in my pocket with change. So when I was buying something, I'd pull out the change in my pocket, and I'd be like, oh, hey, look at this. It's a miraculous medal, you know, to kind of make it less weird for me. And I came up with a little story, very simple. I would just tell people, you know, would you like this free miraculous medal? And if they said, oh, yeah, sure, I'd say, in 1830, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to St. Catherine and promised that whoever wore this medal would receive great grace from God. And so many miracles have occurred through it that it became commonly known as the miraculous medal. And here, it's a gift for you. And most of the time, the people who accepted were just very polite and say, oh, well, thank you so much. But sometimes it would start up further conversation.
Yeah.
And so, for example, there was a waitress who I gave the miraculous medal to, and it started a conversation, and it led to a conversation on abortion. We just gave the witness of life, and in the end, we found out many months later that she was pregnant and she was going to have an abortion, and that gift of the miraculous medal in our conversation convinced her to save her the life
wow,
of her baby.
What a wonderful, wonderful story, and I know there's much more to it. Friends, we're out of time already. Boy, that went fast again. Steve will be with us again tomorrow, and I want to pick up right here and just talk a little bit more about how this whole thing emerged under the inspiration, in many ways, of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And so much more, friends, has happened, and I'm just delighted to be able to have Steve a part of the program to share it with you. Tell your friends to tune in tomorrow. They'll be glad they did. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.